All right, Ephesians chapter 6, we'll have our scripture reading before the special. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Yes, pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and we thank you for the word going forth already in Sunday school to the children, to the adults. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your Spirit and your word, and God, help us to apply these things. And I pray for the filling of your Spirit in preaching and teaching this message this morning. Fill my wife with your Spirit, relaying the message in sign. Dear God, help your church edify us, and Lord, might we draw closer to you, might we be faithful servants, might we love you and love one another, and love more and more lost and dying world around us as well. Father, we need the mighty working of your Spirit in our hearts for all these things. Edify your church, and might you be glorified this morning. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. No, I didn't know they were singing that. No, they didn't know I was preaching this. I love it when God does that. Just the divine orchestrator, amen? And obedience is dear to the heart of God. As I was perusing this passage and preparation for the message this morning, this thought of obedience was just so prominent in it. You know, if our nation could follow this, we'd get this and some of Rome and all of Romans 13 in here on this, we'd see a drastic change, wouldn't we? Amen. The whole idea of God's authority from all the way down the chain. If we'd submit to those things, if we'd learn this thing of obedience, it would transform our lives. Such a blessing to have the God that we have to obey, and He simply wants us to obey. We remember the story in the Old Testament when Saul was commanded to go and destroy the Amalekites and all of their livestock and not bring anything back. But Saul yielded to the people, wanting to keep the best of the sheep and such, and even bring King Agag back alive. And we know remember what Samuel did, how he dispensed of the things that should have been killed, and reminded Saul that he had not obeyed the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 15:22, he said to Saul, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." God wants and deserves our obedience. The New Testament teaches that we as Christians are a spiritual priesthood to offer up sacrifices to God. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 2:5, "He also our lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Well, how blessed we are to be able to do that. What are some of these sacrifices? Well, Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present what? Your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's just reasonable to do that. Paul, writing to this church at Philippi, which we're learning in Sunday school, he would write to them in Philippians 2:17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Paul was thankful that God had empowered him and filled him with the Spirit to go and start these churches, that these churches, these people had believed, and the Spirit was working through them now by faith. And Paul realized that his very life might be required. And yet he said what? "Just like your service and faith is a sacrifice in the offerings, many times they pour a drink offering over it." And Paul said, if God decides to treat my life like a drink offering poured over your service and faith, he says, "I'd be honored." That's what he chooses to do. Spiritual sacrifices. We are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, Hebrews 13:15. And he went on to say, to write there in Hebrews 13:16, "To do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." God is pleased with these things, these sacrifices. But interesting that Samuel said, "To obey is better than sacrifice." Think about that. I mean, after all, we'd have a bunch of Sauls running around if obedience wasn't primary. I'll just do things, everything. I'll worship God the way I feel I ought to do that. I'll give what I feel I ought to give. I'll praise Him the way I feel I ought to praise Him, and that ought to please Him. Well, that's not treating God as the sovereign that He is. So important. If we give what God calls us to give in an area, Brother Chris was teaching on giving not only of money but time, talents, and treasures and such. If we give these things, but yet we're continually disobedient in some area of our lives, Well, it's like the illustration that he made, you know. Well, I can, as long as I'm soul winning, it doesn't matter if I have this sin in my life, and God's pleased with me. Well, it doesn't work that way. God wants us to be walking in obedience. By the way, continually, every day, looking to Him, trusting and obeying. And if we're rebellious, that kind of puts a stain, doesn't it, on anything we'd want to offer Him like praise. You can only hear the words of the Lord Jesus. Why call you me Lord, Lord, what? And do not the things which I say. Lord, I praise you for saving me. Lord, I praise you, you know, for providing all of my needs. I praise you for healing me. And the Lord's up there, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You see, it kind of messes up the sacrifice and the praising part, doesn't it? No, God wants us to be obedient. We see that. I'll piggyback on a verse that Brother Chris shared this morning with the same truths together there. Deuteronomy 26:13. It's talking about giving from the heart. And he says, I thought I had it there. Was it 26:13? Yeah, possibly 12. Yes, the tithing. He says, when you made an end of tithing, they had the tithe that third year, and they were what? They were to give to the poor and to the strangers and stuff within their gates. Remember that? And look what it goes on and says in verse 13. You're going to say before the Lord, you've given all your hallowed things, you haven't kept it in your house. Look at the end of verse 13. He says, I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. You see that? Piggybacking on the same thing. By the way, God, I'm trying to live for you. Because what would all the sacrifices matter if we weren't trying to live for Him, amen? If we didn't want to obey and follow Him in all things. Peter T. Forsyth was right when he said, the first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one what despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Notice how God only puts it in two categories? Two masters? This is a big world. Why did Jesus just need to use two masters? Well, because that's all he needed. See, we're either worshiping and following God and the Lord Jesus Christ as our master, or we're not. And whatever other else you want to call your master really has demonic roots from our fallen nature, from the devil himself. And it doesn't matter. It's not God. Amen. Everything else can be put under that one category. What was the conclusion of Solomon there in Ecclesiastes? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, is to obey. To obey God. And it's amazing how our Lord Jesus exemplified that. In John 20:49, He said, for I have not spoken of myself. We studied that a little bit last week. But the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment. I believe He's speaking there of all that He did. What I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. Every command, He put it as in His words, He gave me a commandment. And He obeyed. How well did He obey? Philippians 2:8, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, what? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Never flinching, never swerving in obedience. The excellence of obedience. And I'm just going to go down through this passage here. I want to point out a few of the glories of obedience and how we ought to obey. It's so pleasing to God when we simply obey Him. When we simply obey Him. First of all, number one, we ought to obey with conviction. We ought to obey with conviction. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. What to say? For this is right. This is right. You feel the courage God gives you when you know your cause is right. You know? We sing in our national anthem, "And conquer we must when our cause it is just." Right. We had to obey with conviction. It's the right thing to do. And our God is a right God. Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Just and right is He. Psalm 33:4, For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. So we ought to obey with conviction, brethren. Hey, we follow this book. We're not going to be wrong, are we? We're going to be right. And we ought to have that conviction, that foundation. Getting deep in these words. Need an unmovable foundation. If you're going to build a tall building, the Twin Towers unfortunately succumbed to the terrorist attacks that were upon them. But the foundations of those buildings were 7 stories underground. They build nuclear plants and stuff. They endeavor to put them on to go down to what? The bedrock. Because they didn't want them to be movable. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words what? Shall not pass away. God is a right God. And our faith is rooted and grounded in the unchanging love of Christ and the unchanging Word of God. And we can be thankful for that. Ephesians says, nothing will be able to separate us, what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a blessing. This foundation, this bright. We see our generation of young people struggling because we've taken the Bible out of school, taken the commandments out of school. You see, a capitalistic society, this free enterprise, our forefathers have told us, it doesn't work in outside of a Christian society. Outside of a society with a solid moral base. Even this best, I think the best system as far as economy goes in the world, even this system will fall apart from a foundation upon God's morality and God's truth. By the way, we're seeing that happen around us today. We need revival. We ought to obey with conviction. It's right. It's not always easy to smile and be nice when we are called to sacrifice. It's not always easy to put others first, especially when tired and feeling our worst. It's not always easy to do the Father's will. It wasn't so easy to climb Calvary's hill. But we as His children should learn to obey, not seeking our own, but seeking His way. It's not always easy to fight the good fight, but it is always good, and it is always right. Amen. We ought to obey with conviction. With conviction. I love God's word. I love this record. This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad that record stands? Amen. And everyone who has Christ living in their hearts will be in heaven and has eternal life. We ought to obey with conviction. Secondly, we ought to obey with honor. Honor thy father and mother. And you know, this is, of course, the primary thing that children learn at home. But this doesn't stop when you grow up. Honoring father and mother is something we do for life. It may change in the ways that we do that. Nonetheless, it's for us all. But honor this place of honor. Why do we honor father and mother? Because of their position. God has placed them what? In a place of authority in our lives. Back to that thing, if we just obey, what a transformation our world would see. Ephesians 6 and Romans 13, if we just follow those things. Honor. You honor them. Well, my dad or my mom, they weren't always so nice to me. Honor them anyway. Amen. Nero wasn't too great a... he wasn't real nice to the Christians, was he? Yet the Christians honored him, didn't they? You honor those as God has put an authority over you because of the position God's given them. And by the way, we honor God because of His position, who He is. Amen. Mentioned in an earlier lesson, us honoring Him doesn't make Him more honorable. He's as honorable as He can be. And therefore, we ought to honor Him all we can. Philippians 2:8, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It glorifies God when I worship Jesus Christ, when I call Him Lord. And we ought to honor Him with obedience. He's worthy of that. It's an honor to obey God because of the excellence of who He is and all that He's done for us. So it's an honor to obey God. One person wrote about all the commandments that God gives Israel in Leviticus. And so some people might think they're trivial, you know. We'd be breaking a lot of them right now. You're not supposed to wear clothes with mixed materials, you know, that are more than one kind of material. Eat certain foods and don't eat certain foods. And a lot of laws there. One commented on that. It's not the importance of the thing, but the majesty of the lawgiver. That is to be the standard of obedience. Some indeed might reckon some of those commands to be minute and arbitrary rules as trifling. The principle involved in obedience or disobedience was none other than the same principle which was tried in Eden at the foot of the forbidden tree. All these trees out here, but this one. Don't eat of that tree. Same test. Well, it's kind of trifling, isn't it? You know, why do we got to just skip one tree? Well, because of who said it. That's enough. See, it's really this. Is the Lord to be obeyed in all things whatsoever he commands? Is he a holy lawgiver? Are his creatures bound to give implicit assent to his will? We certainly ought to, amen. He's our creator. He made us. How would you like it if your computer sent out emails in your place that you didn't send? You wouldn't like that too much. You'd have a talk with your computer and throw it away and get one that listens to you, amen. God made us. And we ought to implicitly obey him in all things because he's God, amen. By the way, he's God. He's not just applying for the position, okay? He is God. We ought to obey with honor. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. We ought to obey with honor. Thirdly, we ought to obey with compassion. With compassion. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here the idea of being careful how you lead. It's interesting, there are many commands here, imperatives. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother. Servants, be obedient there. Masters, do the same there. All these commands. But this one's not the imperative. It's a little different, kind of a strange form there, but it's not the imperative. But I get the idea that God is telling them, be careful. Be careful how you lead. Be loving. By the way, our God who commands us loves us, doesn't he? We ought to obey with compassion. The one who commands us is love. We sing that song with the kids. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. God is love. Got to be thankful we're called to obey the one who's love, amen. Got to obey with compassion. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, John 14:15. 1 John 3:23, this is the commandment. We should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 2 John 1:6, and this is love. How do I love? That we walk in his commandments. That we obey. That's how we do it. That's how we show love. We ought to obey with compassion. Fourthly, we ought to obey with reverence and purity. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. This idea of reverence for the holiness of who God is. And wanting our lives to be among those that are casting off those sinful garments of the old flesh and putting on the new and growing in holiness. Drawing closer to the Lord. Not being disobedient. Not having some favorite sin that we don't want to depart from. Drawing ever closer to God. Fifthly, we ought to obey with sincerity. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God, what? From the heart. Like what Brother Chris said this morning. Everything you do, there's a heart behind that, amen. And by the way, God sees that, doesn't he? Every time. And what do you think is the most important to God when he sees that? I think it's always the heart. It's always the motive. We ought to obey with sincerity, not for show, not in hopes that, you know, well, if I listen to God here, maybe he'll help me give me this, you know, new car that I saw in the parking lot there over there the other day. No, not that idea. We obey who he is. We obey because of who he is. We ought to obey with sincerity also. You've never seen me get through 7 points so fast. We ought to obey. Six, with grateful expectation. With grateful expectation. Ephesians 6:3. What? That it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live long on the earth, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God has wedded these truths together in the lesson this morning and here. Here's the same thing. God will take care of you. God's not a debtor. God's watching what we do from the heart. He's watching our obedience. And if you find yourself giving in one of those situations where you really didn't know how you could afford to do that, do it with the right heart, guess what? God will take care of you. Grateful expectation. You know, when our heart's not right with God, we lose all confidence, don't we? I think I speak for more than myself. We get to praying for something. We know something's not right. How much hope do we have of getting that prayer answered? Our hope level goes down to what? It takes a nosedive, doesn't it? As far as that confidence. Why? Because we're asking amiss. We might consume it upon our own loss. We're not getting things right. That sin is blocking God so that God can't even hear our prayer. I see your lips moving down there, but the message didn't get up here. maybe he allows that in his own, like he forgets our sins, you know. The Bible talks about not being able to hear us when we got iniquity blocked in the way there. Got to obey with grateful expectation. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God does not mock. Whatsoever man soweth, what? That shall he also reap. There it is. God says, I'm taking care of things on earth. I see you sow and I'll make sure you reap. Grateful expectation. Serving God with that expectation. That was in Job 35:3. That was one of the accusations they made against Job. His air quotes friends. Job 35:3. Thou saidest, what advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin? What's it going to profit me if I live for God? Look at this. That's what they were accusing, you know, Job of. And he may be, matter of fact, might have been a little guilty in that along the way. But listen, great expectation. Obedience really is its own reward, isn't it? I'm not saying, yes, God still provides and all that, but what comes with that obedience, that yielding? Confidence, peace, all those things, all those treasures of the heart that money can't buy. Obeying with great expectation. The psalmist in Psalm 73:12, behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world, they increase with riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For
For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. Here's someone trying to live for God and what? Being plagued and chastened, disciplined.
If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I stay in this mindset, God, I'll be preaching against you.
I'd be preaching and speaking against your children.
And thank God, the psalmist didn't stay in that mindset. The very next verse. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And I'm not going to stay there. That's our problem. Many times we become unthankful. Or we get jealous or envious or resentful towards someone. You're staying on the thought too long.
You're not going into the sanctuary. You're not going to the throne of grace. You may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we dwell on it, and that root of bitterness begins to go down into our heart.
Psalmist didn't stay there. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went, what? Into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end.
Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. All that brought into desolation, as in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors. They're gone just like that. As a dream when one awakes. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. God will judge them in their time. And they'll be judged like that.
Thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. What a blessing. By the way, he's continually with us. Amen. We have a greater promises than the Old Testament. I'm continually with thee. So foolish was I. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. I was foolish to envy the wicked and think it was unprofitable to serve God. We have great expectation, you know, as we serve our God. Isaiah 45:19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth.
I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I never said that, God said. It's always profitable to seek God, amen. It's always profitable to obey God, amen. It's always worth it.
I said not unto thee, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But what? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth what? Shall prosper. We ought to have great expectation. And obey with great expectation. And then finally, we ought to obey with humility. Look at verse 9. Ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
What's that saying?
God loves us all. He doesn't pick special ones to love more, okay? And by the way, he is the master of all, the creator of all. Humility isn't thinking lowly of yourself. Humility is simply not thinking of yourself. Looking out to others, having an others focus. Interesting in Matthew 25 where we have the judgment of the nations which takes place at the end of the tribulation. The Son of Man comes in his glory to sit on the throne, the millennium. the holy angels with him, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all nations. He separates them, the sheep from the goat and the goats, verse 33. The king says unto those on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was in hunger and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in. Naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me. The righteous answered him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? The king answered, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then he addresses the wicked. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked and clothed me not, sick and in prison, and visited me not. Then shall they also say, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? When was it that we didn't minister unto you, Lord? He says, what? As much as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these should go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's interesting in that is that judgment is the righteous, the godly, weren't keeping tabs on their good deeds. You see, because yes, they'd fed the hungry. Yes, they'd clothed the naked. Yes, they'd helped the weak. They did it yesterday, and they're planning on doing it today. By the way, they're praying that if God gives them tomorrow, that they'll have opportunities to do that again. See, they're not stacking it all up and say, well, look at all that I've done. Because the righteous, what? The God's people have a forward look, amen. See, me being right with God yesterday doesn't help me today. I want to be right with God today. And by the way, today won't help me tomorrow unless I apply some things that I'm learning and preaching today. Amen. We got to. This relationship thing is a day at a time, isn't it? Anytime we can get crossways with God. And the righteous are wanting to walk with God day by day. And so they're wondering, they're doing all those things. What specific time was he referring to? Jesus said, all of them. Anytime you ministered to my people and such. But the wicked said, what? When didn't we minister unto you? I mean, they were planning on getting to heaven by their works. By the way, that's why most lost people are trusting in. They're good work. Hey, it'll all work out. God will accept me because I'm better than so-and-so that I know. I'm not as bad as that guy over there, that gal over there. When did I not do what I should have done? Just look at that person over there, see? That's where the lost were found. Interesting. But thank God, when we have our eyes on Jesus Christ, it can't have anything but a humbling product, amen? It can't have anything but a humbling part in our life when our eyes are focused on Jesus. We're following him. We ought to obey with humility. Lord, it belongs not to my care whether I die or live to love and serve thee is my share. And this thy grace must give. If life be long, I will be glad that I may long obey. If short,
Yet why should I be sad? To soar to endless day. Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. He that to God's kingdom comes must enter by this door. You see, the righteous are looking for him to return. Amen. What did the Apostle Paul say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He had that forward look. And the time that he went back and recounted all the mighty works that God through them, that God did through him, he was reaching to people that could, in their mindset, could only be reached by what he called, what he deemed foolishness. For whatever reason, God's leading me to bring up this list to you guys, because it's the only thing that's going to maybe impact you a little bit right now. Apart from that, I wouldn't be doing it. It wasn't the way he usually operated. By the way, we don't find him doing that, after that either. But going forward, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Luke 9:62. Jesus said, "What? No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." If we're living for Christ day by day and wanting to hear him say, "Well done," we're going to be a people that are looking forward for his return. And yes, feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and helping the weak in the past and today and tomorrow as God gives opportunity. Amen. And praying that when he comes, we'll be found doing what he wants us to be doing. And not have to be ashamed that he would come at the wrong time, in our lives. And we all understand that's possible with any of us dealing with in our spiritual life and spiritual walk. That's why it's so important to obey. But to recognize what a glory, what an honor, with what humility, with what conviction, on and on, we ought to just want to obey God. God has exalted and put an excellence upon obedience. And folks, it'll please God. And it'll be the best thing for us when we obey. Simply obey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Father, both just a reminder of obedience. And God, what a privilege we have to be Christians and to have your commands given to us through this word of God, which has been preserved through the bloodshed of many of your saints. And Father, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son. We thank you for this book. Help us, Lord, to obey you, to know that you will love and care for us and direct us every step of the way, and that we can offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Father, all along, let us never forget that your heart desires that we simply obey you, because you love us the most and you know what's best for us. And for us to disobey only means to miss out on the best that you have for us and to grieve your blessed spirit, your blessed son. To grieve you. Father, help us to be obedient Christians. And in short, as your word says, to love you and to love others through your commands, through obedience to those commands, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Father, help us, as you do help us to be careful to give you the praise and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.